you. Så jeg bare overlater ordet til Rolf, altså. Vær så god.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Everybody happy? Because that's what you should be right now. You have come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's here to bless, to encourage, to make you strong, so you can face this world without looking down and say, this is impossible. Because hey, it is possible with the Lord. We are so many people here now. Okay, yes. That are visiting. The first one who rose up. You can stand up, brother. You know him? Brother Andrew Peary? And he has a wife. You have to raise up too. And stand there. You see, Sister Nora, they're from Lusaka, Zambia. Of course, Brother Peary was with us last year, so he should be standard equipment now. So I'm thankful to the Lord that they have the desire to come and be with us. We're honored and privileged. And you will hear more from him, maybe not this morning, but later on today. That is Brother Peary. And then we have another man standing here. And he is anxious to start the service. Brother Tim McKay, we have known him for many years, and he's been here many times. But he told me, no, it's 5 years since he's been here. And I say, is it that long? Because we have seen him more often than that, but not here in Verdal. So they are our ministers that we are privileged to have around us and with us. So you keep praying for them. Then we have visitors from Singapore. You have to raise up, yeah. Brother Paul and his wife. I don't remember. Nancy, yeah, Nancy Reagan. No. they have been standard equipment in Brother Richard Gann's church. He passed away last year, but the work have to go on. Hey, doesn't matter who any of us pass away, the work will go on. It's not because of you and me, but it's because of him. And we're so happy to have this couple with us. And they're staying with us. So if you want to see them more, then you know their address. Their home address is Lanesmuen. Praise the Lord. Singapore. Wonderful. And then we have Stockholm. Where is our Stockholm team? Right? Donald and his mother. Yeah. They come all the way from India, but they made a stop in Stockholm before they go to heaven, right? Yeah. Well, I'm a little silly, but that's okay. Everybody knows that. But we're very happy to have you here, and we hope that you will really enjoy and see the hand of the Lord at work. Hallelujah in your life. All right, then we have Oscar and Hagedal. You have to raise up. Yeah. We have Per, Audhild, and Thomas and the family, the whole gang. They take a whole row now. It's wonderful. And they have been standard equipment since 1995. We have really enjoyed their presence and still are. And let us really press on together in the Lord. Very happy to have you here. And then we have England. Right? Hey, Rebecca refused to race because she's a Trønder now. Daniel had to stand up. Yeah. Stand for yourself. Yeah. And of course, he's the brother of Sister Rebecca and Michael. You know them. Happy. And then we have Trondheim. Right? Race up back there. Trondheim I byen. Yeah. She had been climbing and hurt her elbow. So she need prayer. Also, like we all do. We're very happy to have you and to see you. Hope that you will come often, because you may see something in the Lord that will strengthen your life. We have the island of Smyrna. Island of Smyrna, you have to raise up. And you have a visitor with you, Canadian. Right? Yeah. Very happy to have you. And we are really grateful that you are coming all the time. Come as often as you can. Praise the Lord. Smyrna. Wonderful. And then, am I missing out? Yeah, Bergen. She's not from Norway. She's from Bergen. Yeah. That's what we say when we meet the Bergen people. Jeg ikke fra Norge, fra Bergen. Sister May, yeah, or Sister Grete May. Very good to have you here. We also have visitors on online. They're asking me, when do you start your streaming? And I said about 11:40. We were just kind of figuring out. So there are people watching. And we welcome them all, because they cannot be here. Some of them live more than 1,000 kilometers away, so it's hard to pop up on a Sunday morning. But we're glad they can make it. So other than that, and then we have all the homecomers that are living here. You want to raise up too? Right? Wonderful. Hey, they are the reason that we can have the meetings together. Right? Without them, there wouldn't be a service in this little place. But because of the homecomers, or the homeowners, we can have service here every Wednesday and every Sunday. And there will always be someone ready to defend the gospel. So together now, we are about 5 different nationalities in my home right now. So that means we have people from all over the world. And we can now stand for the same gospel, same thought, same mind. Because the Lord said, be of one mind. And then, this morning, Brother Tim McKay, he refused to sit down. So therefore, I'll just ask him to come up and continue. And keep praying for the ones who are singing, praying, ministering, that the Lord will show his greatness through every little voice. And I must say, thank you for all your prayers on our behalf, because we were a little far away and we ended up having a little problem in Sydney. But the problem is over. So no, thank God, we're home. And I got a warning, take it easy. So I'll see what I can do about it. Okay, Ariel. And Tim, God bless you, my brother. He calls me sometimes Brother Stroman. I call him Tim all the time. My brother McKay.
Oh, Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Det er godt å være I Herrens hus.
How do I go to the PowerPoint?
It's turned.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here we are. Oh. Then you... You just push play, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Are you there?
It'll come.
Okay. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Ja, det er godt å være I Herrens hus.
I'm very thankful to be here.
Veldig takknemlig for å være her.
I mentioned Wednesday night. It's been 5 years since I've been here.
Jeg sa det på onsdag at det cirka 5 år siden jeg vært her.
But then I started looking at my notes. It's been 6 years.
Og så kikket på notatene mine. Det faktisk 6 år siden.
A long time.
Så det lenge siden.
But thank the Lord.
Men takknemlig til Herren.
He's still leading and guiding us.
Han leder oss og veileder oss.
And that he will have a people.
Og han skal ha et folk.
That will be walking with him.
Som skal vandre med han.
Let's look to him.
Skal vi be?
Heavenly Father.
Ja, himmelske far.
We are so very thankful.
Vi så takknemlig.
For your presence.
For ditt nærvær.
And for this people, Lord.
Og for dette folket, Herre.
Lord, the ones that have stayed faithful.
Skjer er de som står trofast, Herre.
To what you have revealed in our day and our hour.
Til det som du har åpenbart I vår dag, Herre, og vår tid.
I ask this day, Lord, that you would help me.
Jeg ber nå, Herre, hjelp meg.
Allow me to say something that would be a benefit to thy people.
Tillat meg å si noe som kan være til oppbyggelse for ditt folk.
And Lord, I pray that thy people would have ears to hear.
Jeg ber, Herre, at ditt folk må ha øre til å høre.
For it is only through thy spirit can we receive thee, O God.
For det kun gjennom din ånd, Herre, vi kan motta fra deg, Herre.
So bless and we give you thanks.
Så vi velsigner deg, Herre, og vi gir deg takk.
In the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
I vår Herre og Frelser, den Herre Jesus Kristi navn vi ber.
Amen.
Amen.
Good thing we worked on this yesterday.
Yeah. So we don't have to do this. Try it before the service and it's worked then.
Did we go to the right place here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took ball. Yeah. The PowerPoint, yeah. Okay. Took ball.
Well, we will start and see if we can catch up. There is a scripture we want to start in, and it's Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 1 and 2.
Vi skal starte I 3. Mosebok kapittel 19, vers 1 og 2.
And it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
Herren talte til Moses og sa, Tal til hele menigheten av Israels barn og si til dem, Dere skal være hellige, for jeg, Herren deres Gud, hellig.
And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15.
Og så I 1. Peter 1, vers 15.
It says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Men slik han som kalte dere hellig, skal også dere være hellige I all deres ferd.
Because it is written, Be ye holy, For I am holy.
For det skrevet, dere skal være hellige, for jeg hellig.
We want to title this message this morning.
Så vi ønsker å ha en titel på budskapet vårt I dag.
The holiness of God.
Guds hellighet.
I have been told by people.
Og jeg blitt fortalt av mennesker.
That as soon as I mention holiness.
At så fort jeg nevner ordet hellighet.
Some people just shut down.
Så noen som bare stenger helt ned.
They have no desire to hear anymore.
Da ønsker de ikke å høre noe mer.
Because their concept of when they hear holiness.
Fordi at tanken deres når de hører om hellighet,
as they think about a lot of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts.
At da tenker de automatisk på lover og regler og skal, skal ikke. Okay. It's on now, and this, yeah. you can switch with this if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is more to holiness.
Men det mer enn det til hellighet.
And what I would ask of a person,
og det jeg vil be, spørre en person om da,
is to listen,
det da, lytt,
and really compare what we're saying into the scriptures,
og sammenligne det vi sier nå med skriften,
and ask yourself, what would the Lord have me do with this?
Og spør deg selv, hva vil du Gud at jeg skal gjøre med dette her?
Because holiness is the very nature of God.
Fordi at hellighet er jo Guds egen natur.
And I could ask you a question.
Jeg kan stille deg et spørsmål.
Is this building holy?
Er bygget her hellig?
It's a good question.
Bra spørsmål.
Because we know that we are holy.
For vi vet at vi er hellig.
Because the presence of God lives within us.
For at Guds nærhet bor innen I oss.
But how about a building?
Hva da med en bygning?
We know it's not like the temple.
Vi vet at ikke det som et tempel.
Where there was the presence of God there.
Hvor Guds nærhet var der til stede.
But what about this building itself?
Men hva da med bygningen her I seg selv?
The church in Verdal.
Menigheten, eller kirka I Verdal.
And I think because the answer will kind of give us an idea of what we're really looking at.
Og jeg tror det at svaret som vi søker etter da, spørsmålet da, som vi søker, det vil gi oss svaret vi ut etter.
When we would speak about holiness.
Når vi da snakker om hellighet.
Do I need to move it with this?
You can.
Because I didn't. This one?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. I got seven different names up here.
Jeg har 7 forskjellige navn oppe her på lista.
And I want to ask you this question.
Og jeg vil stille deg spørsmålet.
When you read this list.
Når du leser gjennom lista her.
Maybe I should have put it in Norwegian.
Kanskje skulle hatt det på norsk.
But what do these 7 have in common?
Men hva har disse 7 til felles?
I had a dream and I will tell it later in the message.
Jeg hadde en drøm og jeg skal fortelle den litt senere I budskapet.
But on this list, number 1 is Joseph.
Men på lista her så har vi Josef som nummer 1.
Number 2 is Aaron.
Nummer 2 Aaron.
Number 3 is Israel in the wilderness.
Nummer 3 Israel I ødemarka.
Number 4 the Bible speaks of the virgin daughter of the king.
Og nummer 4 så taler Bibelen om den jomfrue dattera da, av en konge.
And number 5 is Daniel.
Og nummer 5 Daniel.
Number 6 in Proverbs chapter 7 it speaks of a strange woman.
Og I nummer 6 da, det I ordspråkene 7 så omtales det om den fremmede kvinne.
And number 7 speaks of the Pharisees.
Og nummer 7 omtaler fariserene.
So it's a diverse group of people.
Så her har du et ganske vidt spekter av mennesker.
But I like this when you ask questions.
Men jeg liker det med at når du stiller spørsmål.
And it makes a person kind of start to think a little bit.
Så får det en person til å begynne å tenke litt.
And I think that's a good thing.
Og det en bra ting.
So what is the thing that all these different groups and peoples have in common?
Så hva har disse gruppene her som vi har listet opp her til felles?
Every one of these.
Hver en av dem.
In the Bible, when it speaks of these people,
når Bibelen omtaler dem,
it talks about their clothing.
Så omtaler det om deres kledning.
And then you could ask this question.
Og da kan du stille spørsmålet.
Why would God go into this detail?
Hvorfor vil Gud fremheve den detaljen?
That when he talks about these people,
at når han omtaler disse menneskene,
that he starts to tell us how they're dressed.
Så begynner han å beskrive hvordan de kledd.
I think Wednesday night we had some testimonies.
På onsdagskveld så hadde vi noen vitnesbyrd.
But none of the testimonies was, well, Brother Strowman had a white shirt on.
Men ingen av vitnesbyrdene var, ja, også Brother Strowman hadde på seg hvit skjort.
Or Viggo had a blue shirt on.
Eller Viggo han hadde blå skjorte på.
Because it really didn't mean much as far as the testimony we're giving.
For det hadde ikke noe betydning for det vitnesbyrdet som ble delt.
But for some reason when God dealt with these people.
Men for en grunn, ja. Så når Gud delte med disse menneskene her,
he's wanting to present a picture before us.
Så ønsker han å vise et bilde for oss.
And the clothing is part of the picture that he's trying to present.
Og kledningen deres en del av det bildet han prøver å presentere.
Now, I will tell you, this isn't a holiness message about the way you dress.
Og jeg vil si at dette ikke noen type hellighetsbudskap om hvordan du går kledd eller skal gå kledd.
Like a lot of the messages when they preach holiness are.
Som veldig mye kan omhandle når det forkynnes om hellighet.
But to understand something about what the Lord was trying to tell us.
Men dette bare for å få en forstand og begrep om hva det Gud prøver å fortelle oss her.
Because what they're wearing will testify something about what is inside them.
Fordi det de har på seg, det vitner om hva som ingen I dem.
And what we understand is that it is the natural world that is the expression of what's going on in the spiritual world.
Og det vi forstår at den naturlige verden, det uttrykker det som foregår da I den åndelige verden.
When we look at this, if you go with me in Genesis chapter 37.
Så skal vi se på det, og så skal vi gå til 1. Mosebok kapittel 37.
In verse 3.
Vers 3.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors.
Israel elsket Josef mer enn alle sine barn, for han var sønnen han hadde fått I sin alderdom. Til ham fikk han lagd en fotsid og langarmet kjortel.
So when we read this, we know that when we talk about the type of Joseph, it could mean many things.
Så når vi leser det, så forstår vi jo det at når vi snakker om typen Josef, så kan det bety ja, ganske mye forskjellig.
But what it means in this scripture is it is the expression of his father's love for Joseph.
Men det vi forstår I det verset her, så uttrykker det faktisk Josef sin fars kjærlighet til sin sønn.
So God brings out that point to kind of let us understand what's going on, the dynamics between the two of them.
Så det poengterer da dynamikken imellom de to.
And then if you go into Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14.
Så går vi til 1. Mosebok 41, vers 14.
It says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and he came in unto Pharaoh.
Da sendte Farao bud og kalte til seg Josef, og de skyndte seg og førte ham opp fra fangehullet. Han barberte seg, skiftet klær, og kom til Farao.
And what this scripture will speak of is respect.
Og det verset her viser egentlig respekt.
See, Joseph understands he's going to go in before someone that is very important.
Josef forstår nå skal han stille seg fram for en person som han anser som veldig viktig.
That he is in a position of power and authority.
Og det en person med makt og myndighet.
And he realizes that his manner of dress will reflect his respect for this authority.
Og han forstår det at måten han fremtrer på I form av klær da, det vil vise litt om hvor mye respekt han viser den personen.
So he understood he needed to change before he went before Pharaoh.
Så da skjønte han, nå må jeg bytte klær før jeg stiller meg framfor Farao.
And then in verse 42.
Og så I vers 42 da.
It says, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck.
Så tok Farao signetringen sin av hånden og satte den på hånden til Josef. Og han kledde ham I klær av fint lin og hengte et gullkjede rundt halsen hans.
And what this speaks of,
og det herre forteller da,
is that now Joseph has been raised to a position of authority.
Nå har Josef blitt opphøyd I en stilling som innehar autoritet.
And that Pharaoh would robe him in such a way that people would recognize the power and authority that's been invested in Joseph.
Og Farao kler han på en sånn viss måte, sånn at alle som ser på han ser, nå han opphøyd til en stilling med en autoritet.
Amen.
Amen.
So you can see that the clothing actually has something to speak about the character and what is taking place.
Så da ser du I det vi leser at kledningen det reflekterer karakteren.
When we go to Aaron,
så går vi til Aaron.
In Exodus chapter 28 and verse 2.
Andre Mosebok 28 vers 2.
It says, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty.
Du skal lage hellige klær til din bror Aaron til ære og til pryd.
And I think this is important to understand.
Og jeg tror at dette viktig å forstå.
That holiness,
at hellighet,
is beautiful.
Det noe fint nå.
See, the Lord would ask us to worship him in the beauty of holiness.
Herren vil at vi skal tilbe han I skjønnhet og I hellighet.
And what holy actually is not just the presence of God.
Og den helligheten omhandler ikke bare Guds nærhet.
But it is when something is set apart for God's service.
Men det er når noe er satt til side til tjeneste for Gud.
His purpose.
Og hans hensikt.
See, these were just clothes.
For dette var bare klær.
But they were sanctified for a purpose.
Men de var helliggjort for en hensikt.
For the priesthood.
For presteskapet.
And if we go back to the question about is this building holy?
Og hvis vi går tilbake til spørsmålet jeg stilte i innledningen, er bygget her hellig?
You know, people will say, well, it's not the building.
Så vil folk si, ja, men det er ikke bygningen.
It's us because the Holy Ghost is within us.
Det er oss fordi at den hellige ånd bor inni oss.
And we understand in this building it's not the place where God abides.
Og vi forstår at det er ikke bygget her Gud bor.
But this building is holy.
Men bygget her er hellig.
Because it has been set apart for a purpose.
Fordi at det er satt til side for en hensikt.
And that's important to understand when we talk about holiness.
Og det er viktig å forstå når vi da snakker om hellighet.
There is an imputed holiness that is given to the children of God.
Så er det en viss hellighet som er overgitt til Guds barn.
But there is also a manifestation of that holiness in their lives.
Men det er også en manifestasjon av denne helligheten i deres liv.
The fact that they have been set apart for a purpose.
Det faktum at de er satt til side for en hensikt.
In Psalms 149 verse 4.
Salme 149 vers 4.
It says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people; he will beautify the meek with salvation."
For Herren har behag i sitt folk. Han skal smykke de ydmyke med frelse.
See, this is in contrast to what the world would consider beautiful.
Og her er helt i kontrast med hva denne verden anser som fint eller nydelig.
The Lord is going to do something with his people.
Gud skal gjøre noe med sitt folk.
When he imparts salvation to them.
Når han da gir frelse til dem.
When he declares them holy.
Når han erklærer dem hellig.
And set apart.
Og tilsidesatt.
That will be beautiful in his eyes.
At de da vil være skjønne i hans øyne.
Amen. Number three is Israel in the word in the wilderness.
Nummer tre er da Israel i ødemarken.
And in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 5.
Og i 5. Mosebok kapittel 29.
He says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot."
Vers 5. Jeg har ført dere i ørkenen i 40 år. Klærne dere hadde på dere ble ikke utslitt, og det ble heller ikke sandalene du brukte.
And this would speak of God's provision to his people.
Og her omtaler hva Gud ga sine barn.
See, we understand that God is a God that will supply our every needs.
Vi forstår at Gud en Gud som ser til alle våre behov.
But as they looked upon their clothing and their shoes,
og i det de kikket på sine klær og på sine sko,
it was a constant reminder that God was providing for them.
Så var det en konstant påminnelse om at Gud sørger for oss.
In 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 18.
2 Samuel 13 vers 18.
And it speaks about the virgin daughter of the king.
Så snakker det om datteren til en konge som var jomfru.
And it said, "And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled."
Hun hadde på seg en langermet og fotsid kjortel, for de av kongens døtre som var jomfruer. De gikk med slik klesdrakt.
So the way that this woman would dress,
så måten denne dama gikk kledd på da,
would speak about her relationship to her father.
Det ville fortelle litt om hennes forhold til sin far.
It would speak of who her father is.
Om hvem hennes far var.
That he's the king.
At han kongen.
And that she is his daughter.
Og at hun hans datter.
And it also testified to the fact that she was still a virgin, that she had never been married.
Og det bevitnet også om at hun var fortsatt jomfru og at hun aldri vært gift.
When we go into the book of Daniel,
når vi da går i Daniels bok,
in chapter 5,
5. kapittel,
and they speak to Daniel,
og her tar de til Daniel,
and it says, "And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom."
Vers 16. Jeg har hørt om deg, at du kan gi tydninger og løse vanskelige spørsmål. Hvis du nå kan lese skriften og gjøre kjent for meg tydningen av den, skal du bli kledd i purpur og få gullkjede rundt halsen, og du skal herske som den tredje i kongeriket.
So then we can see this promise given to Daniel.
Så her ser vi da et løfte som blir gitt til Daniel.
If you can do this,
hvis du kan gjøre dette,
I'll give you some new clothes.
Så ska jag ge dig nya kläder.
Hey, it's more than that.
Nej, det är mycket mer än det.
Because these clothes that he would be given,
för de kläderna han skulle bli gitt,
would testify to an authority that's invested in Daniel.
Skulle bevittna hos autoritet som du har investerat i Daniel.
It would speak of royalty and privilege and power.
Rätt och slett om kunglighet, om fördelar och om makt.
And so we see it's more than just clothing.
Så då ser vi att det är mer än bara själva kläderna i sig själv.
It is an expression of something.
Det uttrycker något.
When we talk about the strange woman,
och när vi ska bevaga oss mot den främmande kvinnan.
In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10.
I Ordspråken 7 vers 10.
He says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot.
Och så där blev han mött av en kvinna med en horkvinnas kläder.
And you know, I can ask you this question.
Och då kan jag ställa frågan.
When you read that scripture,
när du ser läst det verset här.
The attire of a harlot.
Och också en horkvinnas kläder.
Do you have to ask the question?
Och ett litet hjärta står det.
Do you have to ask the question?
Må du då ställa ett nytt spørsmål?
I wonder what she's dressed like.
Ställa då spørsmål. Och jag lurer på hur hon går klädd.
Because we understand what he's talking about.
Fordi vi forstår hva han snakker om her.
That she's dressed in a seductive manner.
Og at hun klædd på en forførende måte.
And that her clothing is actually sending a message.
Og at klærne hennes sender et signal.
See, if modesty can be expressed in the way we dress.
Så hvis taklighet kan da uttrykkes i hvordan vi går klædd.
Then immodesty could also.
Så kan da det å ikke være taklig, og det.
And this seduction
och förförelse
is bondage.
Det är fångenskap.
But it's hidden in desire.
Men det är gömt, skjult i lust.
See if you just take a person captive,
för hvis du tar en person till fange,
there is a desire to escape.
Så är det ett önske om att komma sig fri.
But if you can seduce them,
men hvis du kan förföra dem,
you have also brought them captive.
Så har du også ført dem i fangenskap.
But you've taken away the desire to escape.
Men du har tatt bort deres lyst og trang til å bli fri.
So her manner of dress is to entice someone into a trap.
Så måten du kler seg på, det å lokke noen inn i en felle.
And the seventh one on this list is the Pharisees.
Og den sjuende på lista fariseerne.
In chapter 23 of Matthew in verse 5.
Matteus kapittel 23 vers 5.
But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments.
Alla gärningarna sina gör de för att visa sig för människor. De gör bönderemmene sina breda och minnesduskene på klesplaggene sina gör de större.
And in verse 27,
och vers 27,
it says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness.
Ved dere skriftleide og farisere, dere hyklere, for dere er som hvitkalkede graver som nok ser vakre ut utenpå, men som innvendig er fulle av dødningeben og all urenhet.
It said, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto man, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
På samme måten gir også dere menneskene inntrykk av å være rettferdige i det ytre, men innvendig er dere fulle av hykleri og lovløshet.
And with the Pharisees,
og med fariserene da,
it too speaks of their clothing.
Så omtaler det om deres klær da.
But their clothing is a masquerade.
Men kledningen deres rett og slett bare en maske.
You know, all these
en forkledning.
All these other ones,
for alle de andre,
testify to something about their character.
Vittne om deres karakter.
What was within them.
Om hva som var ingen i dem.
But the Pharisees,
men fariserene,
they also understood that the way we clothe ourselves will testify to something.
De forstod at måten vi klær oss på, det vil vitne noe om oss.
But their motivation was to draw attention unto themselves.
Men deres motiv, det var å dra oppmerksomhet imot sin person.
It was rooted in pride and self-righteousness.
Og det var rota i selvrettferdighet og i stolthet.
And really, their clothing was a lie.
Och klädningen deras var egentligen en lögn.
And it was Jesus that came along and exposed them for what they are.
Och så kom Jesus förbi och så avslöjade han för det de verkligen var.
See, I think this if you're not holy.
Och jag tänkte på det att hvis du inte är helig.
You can portray yourself as holy.
Så kan du framstå som helig.
But if you are holy.
Men hvis du är helig.
There will be no masquerade.
Så vill inte vara någon förklädning.
There will be an expression of what's within you.
Det vill bara vara ett uttryck över vad som bor I dig.
He told Israel, I want you to be holy.
Och han sa till Israel, jag vill att du ska vara helig.
And then he looked at the church and he said, I want you to be holy.
Och så kikade han på menigheten och sa han, jag vill att du ska vara helig.
But he's given us something else.
Men så har han gitt oss något annat.
He has given us the Holy Spirit within us.
Han har gitt oss den helige ånd inni oss.
So he said, I want you to be holy in every manner of conversation.
Och så sa han, jag vill att du ska vara helig I ett och allt dock gör.
And that conversation in the King James version is it's your manner of life.
Och I din framfärd som det står I King James Bibeln då, det är hur du lever livet det. I all sida av livet då.
Amen. When we look at Jesus.
När vi då ser på Jesus.
There was something about the way he dressed also.
Så var det också något med den måten han gick klädd på.
You know, I've watched that show The Chosen.
Och jag har sett någon episod av serien The Chosen.
And you know he kind of walks around almost dressed like a beggar.
Och han går runt och klädd nästan ser som att han är en tigger.
But you know in the end they gambled over his robe.
Men det står att vid slutet av hans liv så gamblade han över hans kläder.
It must not have looked like a rag.
Och då kunde det bara varit någon filla.
Amen. In Matthew chapter 9.
Och I Matteus kapitel 9.
And you know the story?
Och du känner historien?
About this woman, she said, you know, if I can just touch the hem of his garment.
För det var där är den kvinna då som säger, om jag bara kan få röra vid änden av kappan hans.
If I can only touch this.
Hvis jeg bare kan få berøren,
I could be made whole.
Det kan ikke, så kan jeg bli hel.
There's a scripture in Numbers chapter 15. We'll go there.
Og det skriftet I 4. Mosebok 15. Vi kan gå dit først.
In verse 37, the Lord would start to speak to Moses.
I vers 37 så begynner Gud å tale til Moses her.
And in verse 38 it says, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation. And that they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue.
Herren talte til Moses og sa, tal til Israels barn, og si til dem at I alle slekter etter dem skal de lage seg dusker på kanten av kjortlene sine, og fra hver dusk skal de feste en fiolett tråd til kanten.
And it shall be unto you for a fringe that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring.
Dere skal ha denne dusken for at dere skal kan se på den og huske alle Herrens bud og gjøre etter dem, så dere ikke skal følge deres eget hjerte og deres egne øyne og drive hor.
That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God.
For at dere skal huske og holde alle mine bud og være hellige for deres Gud.
I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Jeg Herren deres Gud som førte dere ut av landet Egypt for å være deres Gud. Jeg Herren deres Gud.
So he tells us how that they're going to make this fringe on their garments.
Så her viser han hvordan de skal lage sånne kanter da på enden av kledningen sin.
And no doubt that's what she's thinking if I could touch this.
Og det det hun tenker denne dama, og hvis jeg bare kan få borti den dusken.
And then you recognize when he talks about it, it's going to be a ribbon of blue.
Og når han snakker om det, så skal det være en tråd I blå farge da, som henger ut.
What it's going to speak about a heavenly principle.
Og det omtaler egentlig et himmelsk prinsipp.
It's his commandments.
Det hans bud.
And twice in this statement here.
Og to ganger I en uttalelsen her da.
He tells them it is to remember.
Så sier han at det for å minnes.
And why does he need to repeat that?
Og hvorfor må han gjenta det?
I think this because we tend to forget.
Jeg tror det fordi at vi har en tendens til å glemme.
So he's going to put something within them, within their clothing that would remind them of what he wants to tell them.
Så derfor så vil han at de skulle ha noe på kledningen som skulle minne dem på.
And he says to do.
Og da och gör, utför.
And to do actually speaks about obedience.
Och det gör nå utför nå det handlar om lydighet.
And then he says to be.
Och så säger han då och vara.
See, that's something different.
Och det är något annat.
It's more than just doing what is right.
Det är mer än bara att göra det som är rätt.
It is actually about being.
Då är du rätt.
Amen. Does something take place in your heart?
Alltså att något sker i hjärtat ditt.
And he talks about this.
Och så säger han det.
To seek after your own heart.
Och sök efter ditt eget hjärta.
To follow your own eyes.
Och följa deras egna ögon.
And that's really what the world will tell you today.
Och det är egentligen det världen vill fortälla dig idag.
What you have to do is follow your heart.
Världen säger följ ditt hjärta.
But how does God define following your heart?
Men hur definierar Gud det att ett människa ska följa sitt eget hjärta?
Being led by your eyes?
Vi har blivit ledda av dina ögon.
He defines it as whoredoms.
Så betecknar det som ett horeliv.
Amen. And as you read about the life of Jesus.
Och när du läser om Jesus sitt liv.
You'll read about the Mount of Transfiguration.
Och när han var på förklarelsens berg där.
And in that vision that's given to these men.
Och den vision som dessa män då får.
The thing that stands out is his clothing again.
Och så är det som skärs ut för dem är hur kläderna är iförd.
Because his clothing's changed and it's transfigured and it glows.
För att kläderna hans var förändrade. Och de glöda, står det.
The whitest white they'd ever seen.
Det var det kviteste kvite de någon gång har sett.
And it's speaking of a kingdom that is to come.
Och det omtalar ett rike som kom.
Amen. When they mock him and they're getting ready to crucify him.
Och när de hånar honom, spottar honom och är färd med att korsfästa honom.
They place a scarlet robe upon him.
Så har de på honom en skarlagens röd kappe.
And why is that?
Och varför gör de det?
Because it speaks of something.
Jo, för att det talar om något.
It speaks of royalty and they're mocking his claim to
Det är faktiskt betegnet kunglighet och de gör faktiskt narr av han som kunglig.
And when we see they crucify him, they take his garments and they split them.
Så ser vi att när de korsfäster honom så tar de kläderna hans och så river han dem av en.
And when we come into the book of Revelation.
När vi kommer till Uppenbarelsesboken.
It gives a description of how he's dressed.
Så är det en beskrivelse på hur han är klädd.
And why? Because the way he's dressed is going to speak of something.
Varför? Jo, för att det ska fortälla oss något.
His clothing and his hair.
Håret hans och kläderna hans.
And his eyes like fire.
Och hans ögon som eld.
And his feet like burning brass.
Och fötter som brännande brons eller mässing.
It speaks something about his character.
Och det säger något om hans karaktär.
And not only his character but his position.
Inte bara hans karaktär men hans position.
See, we know that sometimes he's portrayed as a great high priest.
Och vet någon gång ser han omtalt som en ypperste präst, den överste.
But other times he's presented as a judge.
Men en gång så är han omtalt som en domare.
And we know this that Christ has bought our redemption.
Och vi vet att Gud han har köpt vår förlösning.
And then when he looks at us as holy.
Och när han ser på oss så ser han på oss som helig.
But we also understand this, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Men vi förstår också det att vi ska alla ställas framför Kristi domstol.
For what purpose when he's already declared us holy?
Ja, men hvordan hensikt han har jo allerede erklært oss som hellig.
It's to give an account.
Det for at vi skal gjøre regnskap.
Not only that we are holy.
Ikke bare at vi hellig.
But that the life we've lived.
Men at det livet vi har levd.
Has been holy.
Har vært hellig.
Amen. Maybe I'm stuck. Help me out. I've done that at home before. Yeah, there we are. In Matthew chapter 23.
Så ska vi gå till Matteus 23.
He's speaking to the Pharisees.
Här talar han till fariséerna.
It says, "Ye blind guides, would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel."
Vers 24. Blinde vägledare som silar ut myggen och slukar kamelen.
See, he says they're focusing too much on some small things.
Så här säger han till dem, de fokuserar allt för mycket på det som är smått och lite.
And really missing the primary things.
Og så går dere fullstendig glipp av det som av betydning.
He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
Ved dere skriftlærde og farisere, dere hyklere, for dere renser utsiden av bæger og fat, men innvendige de fulle av rov og nytelsessyke.
See, to understand this,
så for å kunne forstå herre da,
you really need to understand who the Pharisees are.
Så må du forstå hvem fariserene
When the Pharisees began,
for når fariserene startet ut,
there was this movement in the time between the book of Malachi and the coming of Jesus Christ.
Så var det en bevegelse i perioden imellom Malakias boka og Nytestamentet.
And the Greeks had control over the land of Israel.
Og det var grekerne som hadde kontroll over Israel.
It's something interesting about the Greek Empire.
Og det noe interessant ved det greske imperiet.
You know, some empires would come in and they would want to make the people in their image.
For det noen imperier, de kommer inn, og så vil de omdanne folk til sitt egen lignelse.
They would institute their laws and their customs.
Og de vil pålegge dem sine egne lover og sine egne skikker.
But the Greeks, they had a different concept.
Men grekerne hadde en helt annen konsept.
What they believed is our way of life.
For det de trodde var at vår levemåte og levesett da.
Is so much higher than what you have.
Den så mye høyere enn det den dere har.
That once you see what we have,
at når dere får se hva vi har,
you will desire it.
Så vil dere ønske det og lengte etter det.
So what happened in Israel?
Så det som da skjedde i Israel.
The older people started noticing something.
Så begynte de eldre menneskene å innse noe.
The young people were becoming like the Greeks.
Ungdommene, de var ferdig med å bli som grekerne.
They were talking like the Greeks.
De snakket som grekerne.
They were dressing like the Greeks.
De gikk kledd som grekerne.
And the entertainment that the Greeks loved, the games.
Og underholdningen som grekerne likte, og ja, alt de holdt på med.
It had caught their attention.
Fikk deres oppmerksomhet.
Really, it captured their hearts.
Og det fanget hjertene deres.
So then the Pharisees have to ask the question, what are we going to do?
Og da stilte fariserene spørsmålet, ja, hva skal vi gjøre med det?
How are we going to keep our young people?
Hvordan skal vi klare å holde på ungdommene våre?
And what they did is they started making laws.
Så det de gjorde, det var at de begynte å lage lover.
You can't do this.
Du kan ikke gjøre sånn.
And you can't do that.
Du kan ikke gjøre sånn.
And on the outside, they looked like Jews.
Og på utsida så såg de ut som jøder.
But on the inside,
men på innsida,
their hearts long for the Grecian Empire.
Så lengta hjertene deres etter det greske imperiet.
And this is what Jesus is dealing with.
Og det her Jesus omhandler.
You can put a lot of rules there.
Du kan legge masse lover og regler der.
And make your young people like you.
Og så kan du prøve å få forma ungdommene dine som deg selv.
But if you don't change your hearts,
men hvis ikke du forandrer hjertene deres,
what value is it?
Hvilken verdi har det da?
Amen. There is a scripture.
Så det skriftsted.
In Matthew chapter 22.
I Matteus 22.
There is a wedding feast and that they're invited to.
Og det omtaler en bryllupsfest som en inviterte.
And I think most of you've read this.
Og de fleste av dere har nok lest det.
And when they came to a wedding feast like this,
og når de kom til en bryllupsfest som det her da,
they would travel from many different places.
Så kom de tilreisende fra mange forskjellige steder.
And when they got there, there would be a robe prepared for them.
Og når de kom dit, så var det faktisk en kledning forberedt for dem.
A place that they can clean up.
Og en plass hvor de kunne vaske seg og gjøre seg klar.
And they would put on this robe.
Og så tok de på seg den nye kledningen.
So all the wedding guests would look alike.
Og da så alle bryllupsgjestene helt like ut.
See, it'd be like if Brother Stroman would have got us all a nice gown when we come into church.
Det ville vært som om Brother Stroman hadde gitt oss en fin kappe til alle sammen som har kommet inn døra her.
And we could all look alike.
Og så vi alle sett likens ut.
But they come through there.
Men når de kom inn igjennom der.
And out of the whole crowd, there's one guy that's dressed wrong.
Og ut av hele mengden, så det en av dem som kledd feil.
For some reason, he felt like what he had was acceptable.
Og av en eller annen grunn, så følte han fyren der at det han hadde på seg, det var akseptabelt.
You know, I think this, if I walked into a place and everybody was dressed different.
Og jeg tenkte hvis at jeg kom inn på en plass og alle sammen var kledd annerledes.
One time I was in Arizona.
En gang var jeg i Arizona.
And I was out in the desert.
Og jeg var ute i ørkenen.
And I was hiking and I'd been hot and I was sweating and I was filthy.
Og jeg var på en lang fottur og jeg svettet, jeg var skitet og jeg var sliten.
But I had went online and got a discounted room.
Men jeg hadde gått online så hadde jeg skaffet meg et rabattert hotellrom.
One of those ones where you don't know where it's at until you pay for it.
Ja, et type rom som ikke du vet hvordan det før du har betalt for det.
But when I walked into that place,
men når jeg gikk inn den plassen der,
I think it was New Year's Eve.
Jeg tror det var på nyttårsaften faktisk.
And everybody was dressed up.
Alle sammen der var så fint kledd.
I mean, tuxedos, formal dresses.
Det var smokinger og det var formelle kjoler.
If you've ever hiked in the desert,
og hvis du noen gang har vært på fottur i ørkenen,
it's hot, so you do a lot of sweating.
Og det er så varmt at du svetter så mye.
But because there's no humidity, all the sweat evaporates off of you.
Men på grunn av at det ikke er noe fuktighet, så bare fordamper svetten.
And your clothes are covered in salt.
Og så klærne dine dekket i salt.
You know, when I looked around, I realized I don't fit here.
Og når jeg kikket meg rundt, så skjønte jeg meg en gang, her passer jeg ikke inn.
Amen.
Amen.
I think this guy should have recognized.
Og så kan jeg si, jeg tror at den fyren her skulle ha skjønt det.
I'm not the same.
At jeg ikke den samme.
But for some reason, he felt comfortable.
Men for av en eller annen grunn, han vil lese mer. Han følte seg komfortabel i sin stilling.
I think until a point in time.
Og jeg tror det på et punkt i tida da.
That the presence of God comes.
Så kommer Guds nærhet ned.
You see, I think Adam and Eve, they might have felt comfortable for a little bit.
Jeg tror nok at Adam og Eva følte seg komfortabel en liten stund der.
But when the presence of God came, they didn't.
Men når Guds nærhet kom, så var de ikke så komfortabel lenger.
There was, some of you remember brother and sister Stuart.
Noen av dere husker sikkert broder og søster Stuart.
They had experiences with God back in the 40s and 50s.
De hadde sine opplevelser med Gud tilbake på 40- og 50-tallet.
And I asked Sister Rosetta one time, what's changed?
Og så spurte jeg Sister Rosetta en gang, hva føler du har forandret seg gjennom tiden?
Because they lived in that hour of great revivals in the United States.
For de levde på den tiden hvor det var masse vekkelser i USA.
And she said, the spirit of conviction is no longer here.
Så sier jeg det at det er ikke noen nød da i omvendelsen til folk lenger.
And if there's no spirit of conviction,
og hvis det ikke er en nød når folk skal omvende seg,
it tells me that the spirit of God is missing.
Så forteller det meg at Guds ånd
because God
er fraværende.
God is holy.
For Gud er jo hellig.
And he will make you understand,
og han vil få deg til å forstå
where you lack.
Hva du mangler.
I had a dream.
Jeg hadde en drøm.
I told people I don't like to declare, oh, God gave me a dream.
Hvis jeg sier at Gud ga meg en drøm.
Because sometimes you just have dreams.
For det er litt vanskelig å si det, for noen ganger så har du bare en drøm.
I think our brother said that the other day.
Jeg tror vår bror sa det her tidligere.
But I think this.
Men jeg tenker sånn.
God can speak to you.
Gud kan ta til deg.
Even when you see something.
Selv når du ser noe.
He can give you a vision.
Han kan gi deg en visjon.
Or he can just allow you to see something.
Eller han kan bare tillate deg å se noe.
And you can understand.
Og så får du en forstand.
There are times that I have felt something.
For det er tida hvor jeg har følt på noe.
And I knew it wasn't for me.
Og jeg visste at dette var ikke for meg selv.
I understood God was allowing me to experience something.
Men Gud har tillatt meg å oppleve og gå igjennom noe.
That I could understand what other people are feeling.
Så jeg kan forstå og ha begrep om hva andre mennesker går igjennom.
This one week, this spirit of discouragement came upon me.
Det var en uke her tilbake i tid, hvor det kom en sånn utrolig sånn tung bør over meg, og rett og slett en ånd av depresjon.
I tell you, it was so heavy.
Og den var så tung.
And what was strange,
og det som var så rart med det,
I thought, Lord, I have no reason to be discouraged.
Så tenkte jeg, Herre, jeg har jo ingen grunn til å være nedbrutt akkurat nå.
I don't even know what this is about.
Så jeg aner ikke hva dette dreier seg om, Herre.
And you know what you do is you tell somebody if they're discouraged.
Och det du säger till folk som är nedtyngda och nedbrutt.
Oh, just hope in the Lord.
Så säger jag bara sätt din hopp till Herren du.
It's like you can just throw it off that easy.
Som du bara så lätt som bara det kan bara slunga det av dig.
But you know, I know all of God's promises.
Men jag kan och känna alla Guds löften.
But I could not shake that.
Jag klarade inte att resa den av mig.
And then I think probably about Saturday evening.
Och så kom det till lördagskväll.
It lifted. It was all gone.
Så bara försvann den från mig. Plötsligt så var den bort.
My, that was something.
Och det var en speciell upplevelse.
And then I went into the church the next morning.
Och så gick jag då på möte på söndags förmiddag.
And somebody rose up and started to prophesy.
Så reste någon sig upp och började profetera.
And the Lord said, "I allowed you to feel that this week."
Och så sa Herren, "Jag tillåt dig att gå och känna på det här igenom den uka här."
So you will understand what other people are going through.
Så du kan förstå vad andra folk går igenom.
Amen.
Amen.
See, it wasn't so much just about me.
För det var inte så mycket om mig.
But it was to allow me to understand.
Det var så att jag kunde få förstå och få förstånd.
I had this other experience.
Jag hade en annan upplevelse också.
And it was back when I wasn't feeling very well.
Och det var tillbaka en period då jag inte kände mig så bra.
And you know, you kind of get tired of being tired and sick.
Och du blir lei av att vara sjuk och trött och sliten.
And all of a sudden, I heard this voice.
Och så plötsligt så hörde jag en röst.
I was sitting on the couch.
Jag satt på sofaen.
And said, you know, you've got a pistol in your bedroom.
Och så sa en stämma i mig. Husk på, du har en pistol på sovrommet.
You can go get it.
Du kan gå hente den.
And put yourself out of the misery.
Och så kan du sätta själv ut av lidelsen din.
I wasn't thinking about doing that.
Jag tänkte på att göra det.
But that was scary.
Men det var en skummel.
Because you know what it was like?
För vet du hur det föltes?
Andrew, I was sitting there on the couch.
Jag satt på sofaen som en Andrew sitter.
It felt like it did this.
Och det föltes som att det bara drog mig upp.
Tried to pull me. I was afraid to get off the couch.
Och jag var livrädd för att resa mig från den sofaen där.
I thought, you know, if it's pulling like this.
För hvis det drar deg, sånn som det.
What if I get up and walk by the bedroom?
Hva hvis jeg da tilfelligvis går forbi soverommet mitt?
And that gun's in there.
Och så lägg pistolen där.
And last year.
Och i fjol då.
This brother in our church.
Så den bror i menigheten vår.
He was really fighting a difficult battle.
Han kämpade en otroligt tuff kamp.
I'll say this, it opened his eyes to something.
Och jag vill säga, det öppnade ögonen hans för något.
He came and he was baptized.
Han kom och så blev han döpt.
Give his heart to the Lord.
Han gav sitt hjärta till Herren.
Where before this he wanted nothing to do with us.
Och för det skedde så ville han inte ha något med oss att göra.
But he was getting weaker.
Men så blev han svagare.
And the doctors told him there's nothing we can do for you.
Och så sa läkaren till honom, det är inte något vi kan göra för dig.
It will only become more painful.
Det vill bara bli mer och mer smärtefullt.
And you will die.
Och till slut så vill du dö.
So what he did is he got a gun.
Så det han gjorde, han hämtade en pistol.
Put it to his head and took his life.
Och så satte han det till hodet och så tog han faktiskt sitt eget liv.
And people can ask the question, could a Christian do that?
Och då kan folk fråga sig, ja, kan en kristen person göra något sånt?
And what I can tell you.
Och det jag kan fortälla.
That was strong.
Det som prövade att dra i mig, det är en otroligt stark kraft.
So what happens when something like that comes?
Så vad sker när något sånt kommer?
And you're in a weakened position.
And
you're in a weakened position.
Och du är en så svag ställning.
Then it allows me to understand.
Det tillåt mig att förstå det.
It's not just a man making a bad decision.
Det är bara en man som gör ett dåligt val.
There are spiritual forces at work.
Nej, det är ondskrafter i sving här.
And in this dream I had, I was in a church service.
Och i den drömmen jag hade så var jag på ett möte i ett menighetslokale.
And I was standing at the back of the church.
Och jag stod helt bakerst i lokalet.
And when I looked at my clothing,
och så när jag kikade på kläderna mina,
I thought my pants looked all right.
Så jag tänkte, ja, byxorna ser ganska grej ut.
My shoes were okay.
Skorna mina var sån ok.
But my shirt, it didn't look very good.
Men skjortan min såg inte bra ut.
And it's interesting because I remember that shirt.
Och det var intressant att jag huskade den skjortan där.
I think I bought it around 1992 or something.
Att du har köpt det tillbaka i 1992.
And it was you know what, it was from a time in my life I was really in a tremendous battle.
Och det var från tid i livet mitt där jag kämpade en förfärlig kamp.
And it was raggedy and worn.
Och den var utslitt, var den, och frynsat.
And as I stood in the back of the church,
och där stod jag bakerst i kyrkolokalet då.
As the people come walking in,
det folk kom gående in, ja.
It was almost like there was a celebration for everybody that walked in.
Så var det som om det var en feiring för över en vär som kom in i rummet.
And their clothes just shone.
Och kläderna mest shone.
Shining,
ja.
Shining.
Det skint av dem.
Oh man, it was something.
Och det var speciellt att se.
And I thought, you know, I don't look like that.
Så tänkte jag, ja, men jag ser ut sån ut.
So I'll just kind of stand in the back.
Så jag går stille meg bare tilbake og i bakgrunnen.
But then I started thinking, you know, I've got a shirt in the car.
Men så begynte jeg å tenke, ja, men jeg har jo en skjorte ute i bilen.
I can go get that.
Jeg kan gå og hente den.
It would be acceptable.
Kanskje den vil være akseptabel.
So I left the building because I knew the car's not parked very far.
Så forlot jeg bygningen, for jeg visste at bilen min ikke så langt unna.
But trying to get to the car, there was all kinds of obstacles set up.
Men för att skulle komma till bilen så var det så många hinder som var lagt framom mig.
And I just wasn't able to get back inside.
Och jag klarade inte att komma tillbaka in igen.
And then I woke up.
Och så vaknade.
And I was almost sick to my stomach.
Och jag fick ont i magen. Jag var sjuk.
Because I thought, Lord, I have missed something.
Så sa jeg, å herre, nå har jeg gått glipp av noe.
Something important.
Noe viktig.
And I think, like I said, I don't think it was a warning to me.
Og så tenkte jeg også med meg selv at jeg tror ikke bare en advarsel til meg selv.
But I think the Lord is allowing me to understand something.
Men jeg tror at Herren tillater meg å få forstand på noe.
It was the expression, my clothing was an expression of a casual attitude.
Fordi at klærne mine, det var et uttrykk av min, ja, du kan si nonchalante holdning.
And for a little bit it might have seemed all right.
Och för ett litet ögonblick så kunde vi helt grett.
But there's coming a time where you'll realize.
Men så kommer det en tid hvor du vil forstå.
I have missed out on something.
Jeg har gått glipp av noe.
That's important.
Som er viktig.
And I tell you, it was hard to shake that feeling.
Och det var vanskelig å riste den følelsen av meg.
See, I hope you understand.
Jeg håper du forstår det at
it's not about, well, it is about clothes.
Ja, det er om klær.
But it's not about clothes.
Men det er ikke om klær.
If that's all somebody hears.
For hvis det er alt noen hører da,
then they've really missed the point.
Da har de misset poenget.
It's about a life that's being expressed through our lives.
For det er om et liv som uttrykkes gjennom våre liv.
It's about Christ in us.
Det er om Kristus inni oss.
I thirst. Maybe that means, maybe that's get a drink.
The one you're looking for?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
We popped out somehow. The it's a good picture if we get it up there. It's been 8 years ago.
For 8 år siden.
We were here and we spoke a message about liberty.
Så var vi her, så forkynte vi et budskap om frihet.
And we dealt with the spirit of the feminist movement.
Og så talte litt rundt den onden da, bak feministbevegelsen.
And at that time we talked about the feminist spirit.
Og den gangen så snakket vi om den feministiske onden da.
And the homosexual spirit.
Og den homoseksuelle onden.
Are really one and the same.
Hvor de egentlig er den salsame onden.
It's different levels of perversion.
Det er bare forskjellig nivå da på hva du sa? Ja.
When the early feminists came out,
men när den tidiga feminismen startade ut då,
they had a hatred for God,
så hatade de Gud,
a hatred for the Bible,
de hatade Bibeln,
and it would be expressed not only in their ideas and attitudes,
och det blev uttryckt bara vid deras idéer och hållningar,
but it would change the way that they would dress,
men det förändrade måten de klädde sig på.
They started wearing more masculine clothing.
Ha på seg mer maskuline klær.
And I remember when I preached the message.
Og jeg husker når jeg forkynte et budskap da.
And you know it's not an easy message.
Og du vet at det ikke et enkelt emne å forkynne.
Because the feminist spirit is a powerful spirit.
Fordi at den feministiske åndsmakten, det en kraftig åndsmakt.
Because people are captivated by it and they don't even know that.
For folk fanget av den uten at de vet det.
And I was very thankful.
Og jeg var veldig takknemlig.
Because every time that convention I spoke on this.
For hver gang under stemmen når jeg forkynte om det.
Either Brother Stroman or Brother Elevera would prophesy.
Så kom enten Brother Stroman eller Brother Elevera med en tydning eller profeti.
And really to vindicate what was said.
Og stadfesta ved det som ble sagt.
And the Lord said, I'm opening your understanding to something.
Och så sa Herren, jag öppnar upp din förståelse för något.
But then after the services you hear people say I did not like that.
Men efter mötet var färdigt så hörte du någon kunna säga jag likte inte det där.
And I'm thinking I believe I gave a scriptural foundation.
Och så tänker jag, men jag tror att jag gav en skriftsmässig fundament här.
A historical perspective.
Ett historiskt perspektiv.
And God would use the gifts to vindicate it.
Og Gud brukte nådegavene for å stadfeste.
Yet people said, I don't like that.
Likevel sa folk, herre likte jeg ikke.
But I would ask you this question.
Men da vil jeg stille deg spørsmålet.
Where are we 8 years later?
Hvor vi hen? 8 år senere. Exactly.
They don't even know if you're a man or a woman anymore.
Nå vet folk ikke lenger om du mann eller kvinne.
I went to give blood.
Jeg gikk for å gi blod.
And they, you know, one of the questions they asked me?
Det var en av spørsmålene han stilte meg.
Are you still a man?
Du fortsatt en mann?
You know, the feminists wanted to be like men.
Feministbevegelsen, de ville bli som menn.
And then men wanted to be like women.
Og så vil menn bli som kvinner.
And now they don't know what they are.
Og nå vet de ikke hva de lenger.
You know, in the schools in the States.
Og i skolene i USA nå.
Children believe they're cats.
Så det unger som tror at de katter.
And they want everybody to agree with what's going on.
Och de vill att alla ska vara eniga i det som föregår.
It was not a change in fashions.
Det var inte en förändring i mota.
The change in fashion was only the expression.
Förändringen i mota är bara uttrycket.
Of a change in spirit.
Av en förändring eller en annan onda.
Should I hit the top or bottom one? Which one?
Try
this
bottom.
One? This bottom.
I think you move this one first, and then.
No, I did. Ah, there. Yeah. There we are. There is a scripture in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 7.
Salomos høysang, kapitel 4.
It says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee.
Vers 7. Du vakker, min kjæreste. Det finnes ikke noen feil på deg.
I like that scripture.
Jeg liker det verset der.
Because if you are a child of God.
For hvis du et Guds barn.
If you have been born of his spirit.
Hvis du født av hans ånd.
You are holy.
Så du hellig.
You may want to say amen.
Någon säger amen till det?
When he looks at you,
når han ser på deg,
you are perfect.
Så du fullkommen.
There is no spot, no blemish.
Ikke noe flekk eller noe rynker på deg.
You're pure.
Du ren.
See, that's what justification is all about.
For det rettferdiggjørelse handler om.
It says, if we've never sinned,
hvis vi aldri har syndet,
and it's all through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Og alt ved Jesu Kristi blod.
It is a holiness that is imputed to us.
Så en hellighet som da født inn i oss.
In Ephesians 1:4 says this.
Og Efeserbrevet 1, vers 4.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Slik som han utvalgte oss i ham før verdens grunnlag ble lagt, for at vi skulle være hellige og ulastelige framfor ham i kjærlighet.
See, that ought to make us happy.
Og det skulle gjøre oss glad.
To understand this,
det å forstå det,
that I can stand before him,
at jeg kan stå framfor han,
pure,
ren.
There is no blame.
Det ingen skyld i han.
There's nothing between me and him.
Ingenting imellom meg og han.
The Bible said that he is going to present us,
og Bibelen sier at han skal fremstille oss,
holy,
hellig,
unblameable,
ulastelig,
unreprovable,
og uten noe på oss,
in his sight,
i hans syn, eller ved hans åsyn.
But then when we go to the book of Revelation,
men når vi da går til åpenbaringsboka,
and he starts speaking to the churches,
og så begynner han å tale til menighetene.
You know what he always says?
Vet du hva han alltid sier?
I know thy works.
Jeg vet om dine gjerninger.
Amen. And multiple times he will say this.
Og gjentatte gang så vil han si det.
Nevertheless.
Uansett.
I have somewhat against thee.
Så har han dette imot deg.
And then, Brother Ego, we can ask the question, how do you reconcile these two things?
Og så kan du stille deg spørsmålet, ja, hvordan får vi forent de to tingene da?
It almost seems like a contradiction.
Det ser som noe en motsigelse.
See, over here he says,
for her på ene siden så sier han,
when I look at you,
når jeg ser på deg,
you are perfect,
du perfekt,
you're holy,
du hellig,
you're blameless.
Og du helt uten lyte.
But then when we come over here,
og så kommer vi på en siden her,
he says, when I look at you,
så sier han, når jeg ser på deg,
I've got something against you.
Så har han noe imot, dette imot deg.
What you need to do is repent.
Det du må gjøre, det å omvende deg.
Well, why do I need to repent if I'm perfect?
Men hvorfor må jeg omvende meg hvis at jeg er fullkommen?
And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand the holiness of God.
Det derfor at vi nødt til å forstå Guds hellighet.
There is an imputed holiness.
For du har en viss hellighet.
That he has placed his spirit within us.
Hvor han har satt sin ånd, plassert sin hånd innen i oss.
And he sees the righteousness of Christ.
Og ved det så ser han Kristi rettferdighet.
That's all he sees.
Og det kun det han ser.
But,
men,
there's also a manifestation,
så skal det ha en uttrycksform,
that he's looking for.
Som han også ser etter.
And that is to examine our lives.
Og da vil han at vi skal eksaminere livene våre.
So what I can say, Brother Rigo, if we've received the Holy Ghost, we've got this one.
Så det jeg kan si da, hvis vi har fått den hele ånd, ja, da har vi det på plass.
Perfect.
Vi fullkommen.
Holy.
Hellig.
Righteous.
Rettferdig.
But the question is,
men spørsmålet da,
what about this one?
Hva da med den siden her?
How are we living?
Hvordan lever vi livene våre?
What does he see?
Hva det han ser?
Not only what does he see,
ikke bare hva ser han,
is what does he see,
men hva ser et menneske ved siden av det?
Because it's this one. It's this one.
Fordi at det på det nivået der,
that you can see.
Du ser det med dine øyne.
In me.
Det du ser i meg.
Amen. We will stop here.
Og vi skal slutte her.
I went the wrong way. There we are. The last, when we were here 8 years ago,
og når vi var her for 8 år siden,
we talked about the spirit that's really captured women in society.
Så snakket vi om den åndsmakten som fanger kvinner i dagens samfunn. Ja.
But this time,
men en gång igen,
I would like to look in the other direction.
Så vill jag se en helt annan riktning.
The positive.
Det positiva.
Because
fordi,
if you look in the Bible,
när du går igenom Bibeln,
the feminist said the Bible really speaks bad about women.
Så säger feministbevägelsen att Bibeln snackar dåligt om kvinnor.
But that's not true.
Men det är inte sant.
It's when you stop and consider.
Det är när du stoppar upp och så tänker du om.
There is quite a picture of women.
Så ser du att det är lite av ett bild som blir framvisat av kvinnor.
That are holy.
Som är heliga.
That they are dedicated.
De är dedikerade.
That God has set them apart.
Och Gud har satt dem till sida.
For a purpose.
För en ansikt.
You know, when you look out into the world.
Och du vet att när du kikar ut i världen.
You can ask the question, why has the picture of women been so perverted?
Så kan du ställa frågan, varför har framställningen av kvinnor blivit så förvrängt?
You know, Brother Branham would ask that question, why has this message been so hard against women?
Och Brother Branham har ställt frågan, varför är budskapet så hårt, går så hårt ut emot kvinnor?
It's because the opposite.
Det är på grund av att det motsatte.
It's so powerful.
Är så har så mycket makt.
A godly woman today.
Men en gudfruktig kvinna idag.
Is a powerful tool in the hands of God.
Är ett kraftigt verktyg I Guds hand.
She is the very expression.
Hur är själva uttrycksformen?
Of the church.
Av menigheten.
And so we will look into that as we go on.
Så det ska vi se på I det vi fortsätter.
Hey. Holy.
Helig.
Goes beyond your manner of dress.
Går långt förbi måten du klär dig på.
Because all that really is an outward expression of something inside.
För det är bara en ett uttryck av vad du bär på eller är på insidan.
But the life you live.
Men det livet du lever.
It is the same.
Det är det samma.
It is an expression.
Det är en uttrycksform.
Of the holiness within you.
Av den heligheten som är iboende I dig.
And as Brother Stroman was speaking on Wednesday night.
Och det Brother Stroman snackade om på onsdagskväll.
It is a testimony.
Så är det ett vittnesbud.
That is able to touch the heart of many.
Som är I stånd till att röra hjärtan till många.
And turn lives around.
Och snu liv.
Amen. Heavenly Father.
Ja, himmelske far.
Thank you, Lord.
Vi takker deg, Herre.
I pray, Lord, that thy children would see what I'm looking at.
Jeg ber, Herre, at dine barn må kunne se det vi ser på, Herre.
And Lord, that you would help us through this week.
At du hjelper oss gjennom uka.
Present something to your children.
At du kan få gitt noe til dine barn.
Lord, we can see the corruption in this world.
Herre, vi ser forvrengninger I verden her I dag.
But there is a beauty in your people.
Men Herre, det en skjønnhet I dine barn.
That I believe will shine even brighter in the days to come.
Jeg tror Herre, den vil skinne ennå klarere I de dagene som vi går I møte.
So bless thy people.
Så velsign ditt folk.
And we give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ.
Vi
gir deg
takk og vi pris I den Herre Jesu Kristi navn.
Amen.
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 All right.
Amen. Thank you. Shall we all stand? Kanskje Mikael har en sang eller to? getting a few songs there, and if there's anyone for prayer, you can come forward.
Blessing in holiness.
To yours, to yours.
Norwegian song. Gud skaper meg. Gud skaper meg et rent hjerte og forny en stadion innen i meg. Kast meg ikke bort fra
Yeah.